All right. Well, welcome everybody. We'll go ahead and call this meeting of the UN Innovation Revitalization Fund Board to order. It is October 24th at about 1:17 p.m. and we are so grateful to be here in Duchesne at the Centennial Event Center. Thanks so much to Duchesne County for hosting us, and Lori, for you and your team, thanks for everything you do to host us all the time. We sure appreciate that.
You are more than welcome, sir.
All right, well, let's go ahead and start with introductions. So I'm Evan Curtis. I'm the chairman and the governor's representative. We'll go ahead and start. Let's start with you, Commissioner Miles, and just work our way around the table.
I am Grant Miles, Duchesne County Commissioner.
John Larson, Uinta County Commissioner.
Mike Natchez, Ute Tribe Business Committee member.
Emma Duncan, Ute Tribe Business Committee member.
Hillary Murray, Revitalization Manager.
Paul Moberly, you want to Basin Revitalization Fund Program Manager.
All right, Reverend, you had a Basin Association of Governments in Duchesne County.
Right. Michael?
Michael Bose, Project Special or Program Specialist for UBRF.
Great. Thanks for being here. And then let's go online. Paul, can you I can't see his name.
Okay. Sorry.
You can just.
All right. We got Carver's on.
Maybe.
Carver can be.
I'm going to introduce myself, Paul.
If you can, yeah.
Yeah, Carver Black, financial manager for the Revitalization Fund.
Let's see. Chris?
Chris Piper, legal counsel to the commission.
And then Janelle?
Janelle Quiros, housing and community development support.
It's jumping around. Jen, I think you're next.
Jen Domenici, Assistant Director in Housing and Community Development.
And Trevin.
Hello, everyone. Trevin Morgan, Contract Analyst.
There they are. Okay, now you can see them up there.
All right. Well, thanks so much for everyone for attending and for being here with us. We will move ahead to item number 2 on our agenda. This will be approving the minutes from our September 11th meeting. Give everyone a second to look through those minutes if you haven't already had a chance. And whenever you're ready, I would entertain a motion.
I'm making a motion to approve.
All right, we have a motion on the table to approve the minutes from Commissioner Larson. Do I hear a second? All right, we have a motion and a second. Second from Commissioner Miles. Any discussion to the motion? All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. And any opposed? Appears to be unanimous. All right, moving on to item number 3 on our agenda, fund balances. Paul, were you or Carver going to walk us through that?
Let's see. Carver, you want to do that? I attached the full report in the board packet, so you can see it much more.
Okay, did you want me to go over that report too, Paul, or just the balances?
Yeah, let's go over the whole report. I think this kind of leads into the discussion coming up. So,
okay, yeah, I'll go over this whole report there. So you can see that beginning balance was before the last meeting. And at the last meeting, you can see there everybody's earned some interest. That $3 million approved project was from the last meeting to reduce the balance. In the other column, there's some for the U Tribe. That's some administrative money they're claiming. We just had a contract go through for that. So that brings you to your new balances of just over $6.8 million for Duchesne County, about $3.1 million for Uinta County, and almost $1.8 million for the tribe. Then if you go down below that, I've listed some cash balances for you. The current rate that you're earning on your invested money is 5.32%, which is pretty good. that cash balance column is the total cash balance for each entity. That includes everything. The projects that have been approved but haven't been had the cash spent, And then that next column is the amount of that total balance that we have invested earning interest. So you can see the uninvested balance for each is about 1 million. I'll probably take that down to 600,000 or 700,000 here the next time I do it so that we try to maximize your interest earnings. And that final column there in that section is the allocated but unspent balance, which is basically the projects that have been approved by the board, but that the money hasn't been spent yet because the project hasn't been completed or the reimbursement requests haven't been made. Yeah, that's the report. That's all I have unless there's any questions on the balances or other financial questions.
We've got a question.
Commissioner Miles?
We went to Alabama High School, so, you know, forgive me, I'm a little slow on this, but when you look at interest earned, I would think that $6.8 million would bring in a slight bit more interest than $3,100,000. So can you explain the difference in interest earned?
It's a little quiet, Paul, but if I understand right, he's asking the interest looks a little bit low for the amount that is invested, yes?
That was the question.
Based on the rate, okay. So that is true. The amount invested is what's currently invested right now, but that changed back in, let me pull it up really fast so I don't lead you astray, but your invested balances were a lot less at the beginning of this fiscal year. The investments hadn't been changed in years. So I went in and changed those to maximize your interest because there was quite a bit that wasn't invested. So it wasn't earning interest. So those balances changed, I believe, effective at the end of August. So there will be a lot in there that doesn't reflect in the interest earned, but should come the next report, it should look a little bit more accurate there. So those new balances, those were changed on August 26th. And the interest earned listed here only goes through August, so that's only 2 months of interest. And it doesn't include anything we invested on August 26th, which between the three entities was about $10 million more that we invested.
Any other questions on the fund balances? All right. Well, before we move on to the next agenda item, we had one introduction that we missed. And since it's our distinguished past chair, I want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself, Keith.
Hello, everyone. My name is Keith Neaton. I'm presently with Seven County Infrastructure Coalition, but as Evan said, former chairman of the board.
Well, welcome. Thanks. Great to have you here.
Pleasure.
All right. Well, we'll move on then to item number four on our agenda. And I'm going to start off with an update on contracts and our contract discussion. So, Paul, I'll turn it over to you and your team.
Yes. Okay. So, back in the August meeting, I think we had a discussion about contracts and the length of time to get contracts and the frustration that was happening around that. I'm very happy to say that we were able. So, Michael and I worked. Over the last couple, since last week, we had our meeting last week, we've been working with legal, contracting, finance, internal audit, our leadership and things to get some changes for our program, at least worked through and figured out. And big kudos to Carver for helping, because that was one of the big hard things to work through. But I'm happy to announce that we have a new solution for our contracts for UBRF specifically, only for our program, unfortunately. But for UBRF, so Lord, I know, sorry.
I wanted it for the whole department.
We're working on it. But at least for this one, we are going to be able to do, and I think I can announce more of this because it's been approved by our leadership. We're going to do essentially umbrella contracts and put all the funding into that. So after that gets set up, and it'll take a little while. So after this meeting, we're going to have this new setup. But then those will go for the year and longer. We'll work continue to amend them and everything after that. But after the funds are approved by the board, really it'll take like a day or two. And then things will be reimbursed.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's a miracle. I don't know how you made that happen, but pass that on to the other departments, please.
Yeah. It should be remarkably faster. And now, I mean, we kind of worked out the bugs with things over the last couple of days, but that's how we all think that it will work.
Great.
Thank you, whoever did that.
I know you are the leader on it, Paul, and I'm very appreciative. After our last discussion,
took the discussion back to the team. Yeah.
I'm glad somebody listened. So thank you.
So this one it'll help out a lot. So hopefully that's going to be less of a burden for y'all to float things and to wait on all that. So now we'll just execute as fast as we can, and we're hoping that we work all the things as we hope they will. Then. Yeah, it'll be very quick.
Well,
do these.
Paul, thank you. And thank you to the entire DWS team who has been working on this for the past week to get this approved. I know it's going to make a big difference here and with each of the members of the board. And also thanks to those who helped raise these issues and make sure that we're aware of it, because we definitely want these funds to be used in the way that they're meant to be used and getting on the ground. So we appreciate all the conversations that have gone into this and getting it to where we're at. So yeah, thanks so much to everybody. Are there any questions for Paul or his team on
this update? I have at the end of the agenda, Kevin. You've got contracts that are coming to an end, which of course I'm only speaking for Duchesne County, but on theirs it is coming to an end, but they've already incurred those costs for the permission of the contract that you can incur costs the day of the presentation, but you can't get reimbursed until the contract's executed, which in this case is an amendment to that, but it's ending in December, which of course that contract still isn't through, so I can't request it. The amendment's not through, and so I can't request it, but I don't want it to end and not be able to request it. So when the contract ends, I don't want that money to go back into Duchesne County's allocation. Yeah. I need it because I've expensed that. How do I get that? What I need to do is compile the expense, get it to you, and you hold it so that allocation won't go back in. Do you see what I'm asking?
Well, so on a current contract?
Yes.
That's open.
This one that's
it's open now.
It's open now.
But you still don't have the original?
No, not the original. Remember, we amended it to add the difference.
Oh, yes, thank you. Yes. So everything that is currently underway, we have to go. It's everything starting from now forward is how we're going to do the new system.
Okay.
So everything that we've already previously done, we have to work through that. And we are, I know on those ones there was actually our one thing, the systems actually broke down on that one, so we are delayed on that a little bit more.
And that's fine, I understand, but you see where my concerns are?
That it'll expire before you
it's going to expire before I can get it requested, because it still hasn't even came to Commissioner Miles for signature. So how do we take care of that?
Hey, Paul, even if there's a contract expiring, there's a grace period where if we get a claim after it's expired, as long as it was within the period of performance, we'll still pay it.
So there's a grace period.
Huh? How long is the grace period?
90 days.
I want to say 90 days, but I'm not exactly sure.
That's what Kaylee told us yesterday.
Yeah, we think it's 90 days.
90 days.
So do you know when that contract amendment is coming out?
That's a question for Trevin. Trevin, on...
Yes, which one is that one?
22. Oh, sorry. 52. Yeah, 21, 22, 52. Duchesne the amendment. Counties. Duchesne County Amendment. It's one of the ones that got stuck in Adobe.
Right. That should be out for signatures like mid next week.
For external signatures?
It'll be like internal approval at the front of the week, and then it should be out for, yeah, we can put it urgent on there. Well, to put it out for signatures.
He puts that out, which of course it goes to Commissioner Miles. Is there any way I can be CC'd just so I know that it's happening so I can hurry up and get... So once he sends it, signs it and sends it back, immediately then I can ask for the reimbursement and it would be okay.
Yeah, Trevin, did you hear that?
Yeah, we can. I can CC on you on it for sure.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And do you have Lori's contact? If you don't, I'll send it to you afterwards.
Okay, great. Well,
that's a good question. Thank you.
No,
that's
you're
fine. It's one of the headaches.
I know. I know you've been working through it, and I want to thank you personally for taking it upon after there were so many concerns and Emma bringing it to us. The attention to the board too, that they can't operate that way. And so, grateful to all of those who are working on it, even on the state level. But thank you, Paul, for leading the charge on that.
So there's light. It's going to be a bright new day for contracting and working here. I'm good.
Okay. All right. Any other questions then on the updated contract, discussion? All right, well, let's move ahead then to the...
I'll make one comment.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Paul. You know, because the last time I was waiting for a contract, it seemed like we kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. 2-3 months off that, and we was wanting to get these done, and we cannot do no work or anything. You know? Thank you.
You're here.
And maybe to the group, introduce Hillary. We had the privilege, anyway, I did, and Paul and Michael... also came out and we went out and met with the Ute tribe on all of their stuff and I was very impressed with Hillary's ability. She's taken hold of that and we're going to get you guys your money and get you all straightened up. She is very, very good. So, and thank you for allowing us to come and visit with you. It was very, very nice.
All right. This is Hillary Murray. She's a new revitalization manager.
Hi,
very efficient at what she does. She understands contracts and everything and construction. She was my former assistant as one of my other rehab projects.
Great.
She trained her up right, or she
trained
you up
right? She trained me right. I could take the construction area, but the paperwork administration, she'd have to keep me in balance. You know what I mean? So that means that me and Mike really don't have to be here next time.
All you have to do is come and eat.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go ahead then and move to 4B, the UBRF finance overview, Paul. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be Carver as well?
Yeah. All right. Just to preface it, I mean, I think we had some discussions at the August meeting and just so we have clarity, so everybody knows how our finances work. How that interest, that whole thing with interest works, his approach, what he's been doing, because it's been a change from what Carver's done and from what we used to do. And if there's any more finance questions, because Carver was really generous to me. Thank you again for adding all this information that we've been talking about onto our report and putting that together.
It actually accounts to the board in a more appropriate way of what's ending, what where you put it back in. Before, everything was just okay, yeah, they threw it back in, but there was no accounting of it. So thank you, Carver, for breaking it out so that everybody can see what's going on better. I think all it does is account to your board on their funds, which they have to be accountable. So it was nice that you did it. Thank you.
That was good.
No problem. Let me know if there's anything you'd like to see a little bit different. But yeah, I think I went over everything except what maybe Paul wanted me to talk about interest. And this might further answer Commissioner Miles' question. So previously and historically, I think the investments in the PTIF accounts to earn interest were based on the unallocated balance of funds because it was probably assumed that anything that was allocated to a project was going to be spent. So it was held in the cash balance to pay for those committed funds in the contracts. But there's a lot of funds committed to contracts that aren't getting spent super fast. So we've changed how we invest your money a little bit so that we can maximize your returns. New goal is to keep those uninvested balances between 600,000 and 1 million. So that we can maximize what you're getting in interest, especially right now while interest is so high. And then I'll keep an eye on those monthly or quarterly so that we can make sure we reduce those investments if we need some cash to pay for your projects. But, so that's how we do it now. So your unallocated money won't really affect what's invested. We'll just try to keep it at a set rate unless there's any concerns with that. But that's how we've started to do it. It should pay dividends. I mean, you'll see at the next meeting probably that interest earned go way up. Another thing of note, though, since we're going to be doing these umbrella contracts now, so you won't have to wait on your funds, you'll probably only see the interest earned become available to use once a year, so that we only have to amend that umbrella contract once a year to add those funds back on. Unless you happen to absolutely need them sooner, we could do an amendment beforehand, but we plan to just about once a year to add those interest funds to your contract. And again, Paul, that's all I have unless there's any questions.
Any questions from anyone?
That makes sense. So the interest, we're hoping it'll be available at the beginning of the year or whenever we do our main allocation. But instead of adding it every single meeting, we'll just add it all at the end so we don't have to amend that contract multiple times.
Yeah, I'll still report it here and you'll see what you earn. It just won't be available on the contract until the end of the year.
That's okay. The other thing I in discussions with Carver that came up is for all the grant managers in the room. If there is a big expense coming through that you know about, like, you know, a couple million or whatever, you know, some large reimbursements, let us know as soon as you know, so that if he needs to transfer money over to cover that we can do that.
Maybe while we're still on this same topic, the end of the state's fiscal year and, of course, costs then, which anybody doing construction, you can't. Yes, the contractors won't pay, but always getting the invoices out in a timely manner, that is going to possibly exceed your July 15th date many times over. How, Carver, can we ensure that we are? I know you put a portion aside. Do you want an estimate from each of us on the estimated amount that we still have not got maybe invoices for? How would you like that handled so it doesn't become an issue?
Yeah, I mean, at year end, we run a pretty tight schedule to get the state's books closed out. Usually we can flex until a little after the 15th, but not much, like maybe July 20th. But yeah, we really need basically everything you have. If you don't have an invoice and you know there's been work done on a project, we could run with an estimate. It would be better than nothing. We just try to get all of those, you know, pre-July expenses in our books before we get them closed out. And once we get past about July 21st, we really can't go put those back on. So we just have to keep track of them and hope we don't get enough to do a prior period adjustment. But yeah, an estimate at the worst would be good. I know it's sometimes hard with contractors and you get some invoices late, but.
At one time after one of our audits, and of course this was prior to you guys, it was with Doug Lee, we were discussing this, and he just said, I said, well, and now I'm talking AOG side, not revitalization, because utilities come at a certain time. You can't make them come any faster. The utility companies just won't do it. So some of those were exceeding the date of the state's close-off. And so we went to our auditor and just said, how would you handle this so it doesn't become a disallowed cost? And he says, if you treat everybody exactly the same, meaning you do a cutoff date, because, of course, we have to have all of our stuff in prior 15th or prior. And he said, if you treat them all the same, he goes, and then you just pick them up if the contract carries over. And I mentioned that to Doug, and he just said, well, if I catch that, I wouldn't allow it. And I said, well, then how does the state do it? And he goes, well, we actually have till the 30th of July, but if we are treating it all the same, what is your official ruling on that besides what you just told me? Can you be more lax on it with contractors and stuff?
No. Our date of, I mean, we tell everybody the 15th because we have to put it through our processing process, but we will not add anything to our books after about the 20th. I mean, if you send us something after the 20th, we'll usually still pay it. We just can't put it on our books, and then we have to make adjustments, which we don't like to do. But yeah, just do your best to get it in by the 15th or so, and we'll do what we can.
Well, I was probably going to, we'll probably send, I'll just send it to you that we're estimating that we've still got 200,000 out, and it's not going to make it in to meet that deadline.
Yeah, as long as we have people can write that up and cover it, then.
Okay. And for you too, Hillary, same thing.
All right. Any other questions or discussions on this item? All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to 4C, policy on prioritization of projects. Paul, I'll turn it to you.
Yeah. So again, this is a policy we talked about at, I think it was back in August. I just need to put something on the books talking about the order that we hear projects. It's one of the things that our internal audit pointed out for our program, that they wanted something written down and clear on that. And so I just kind of took what we do already and I put it into a policy, and it's that each eligible entity prioritizes their own projects and they can't overdraw on their unallocated funds. And then the board hears projects in the order they were received from each entity and then prioritizes those projects in harmony with its statute, which that lists the statute because it has some language to that about prioritization. But I figured that was the gist of what we are doing currently. Yes. So.
Yeah, that is great. Thanks for writing that up. And I know we talked about it, and it's helpful to see something written on paper and so we can look at it and see if there are any concerns. But with that, are there any questions, concerns, thoughts on the language that staff has proposed? Right.
Addressing the 10% rule, where if they're no longer in the contracts, you were just going to let each contract have 10%.
That's 4D.
4D. Okay, sorry. I'm jumping in. Ahead. I apologize.
Oh, that's all right.
Sorry.
Yeah. No. Okay. If everyone is good with that, we can go ahead and I would accept a motion to approve that to add to our UBRF policies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a motion from Commissioner Larson. Do I hear a second? All right, we have a second from Commissioner Miles. Any discussion to the motion? All right, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right, it is unanimous. Thanks, Paul, for putting that together for us. All right, with that, we'll move on to item 4D, talking about overruns.
Okay. So just last week when we were meeting together, we had talked about project overruns. And So we do currently have a policy on the books that says that internal to a contract, we can transfer 10% between line items to cover cost overruns in one of the projects. And as long as there's money available, we can do that. We had talked about some different ideas in that meeting. And honestly, on this front, when I was first talking to our teams about that idea that we were talking about, the 10%, just over and above, they didn't think that we could do that. However, and Carver, you got to help me out. So this is a totally new thing, because this is new territory with our new structure of those umbrella contracts.
Maybe if you explain what it used to be, when it said, when you said that as long as there was funding available,
yeah,
but all your contract had like maybe 10 different line items in it for projects. So you could transfer between your line items in the project, but
as long as the budget didn't go over, or the total contract didn't change.
Yeah, you could do a total of 10% of the total contract.
Yeah.
And you can't do that anymore because you're singly contracted.
Yeah, because so now we've been doing individual ones, but now where we have an umbrella contract for all projects, we didn't think through this after we had talked yesterday. So, the concern is that when a project has overruns, you have to come back to the board, ask for an amendment, and change that. So now that has kind of changed, hopefully fundamentally. That we don't amend things now, we still would need, if we need to change the budget amount, we'd need to amend the project. So the board would need to approve a new allocation or an additional allocation of funds. However, with that said, if we have one big contract, does that 10% policy apply to that umbrella? Carver says no.
So it has to be within the
umbrella. No, we'll need to change that.
Okay.
I think if I can weigh in.
Oh, here, Chris, legal counsel. Yeah.
I think whatever you do, you want very much explicit buy-in from the board, right? I don't advise just having general flexibility this is the whole function of the board is to approve funds. And so if you all opt to do something, I think maybe we'll roundtable this as staff and talk about what a best practice might look like. Because I don't think you don't want staff, you know, doing too much shifting if it's not crystal clear what the board has authorized them to do it, right? So that's my input at this stage.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, and the nice thing is, it really is just a vote. It wouldn't need an amendment to a contract or anything like that, as long as it's within that.
That's true.
Amount.
We just have to wait to get to the final board. So that would be the only constraint for budget overruns meeting, which we also are flexible on when we call them, depending on what the chair wants. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I think that a lot of the overruns that we had were because of delays in contracting. And since we're getting rid of the delays, hopefully we'll get rid of a lot of the overruns, at least a good portion of them. And then if we do have an overrun, an entity, the tribe, one of the counties can come to the board and say, we need an extra $10,000. We amend the project, the line item, and it's available the next day. So
that goes back to the way we did before. We're just going to do an amendment. Even though we're under the umbrella, we have an overrun on the project.
But the amendment doesn't require the signature process and all that stuff.
Don't have to do those contracts.
So yeah.
All right.
So it wouldn't be automatic. Well,
okay.
Okay, sounds good.
So it sounds more efficient. So.
Okay. That's where we're at now, at least.
That's a start.
It's a work in progress.
Yep. All right. Any other questions or comments on this one? All right. Well, with that, then let's move to agenda item number 5 and get to get to some of the good work. So we'll start out with 5A Duchesne County. And Paul, do you want to maybe just introduce it? But then, Commissioner Miles, I'd love to hear some of the background and what got you to this point. So,
okay. Duchesne County is requesting $5,886,568 for their road department building. They've saved up for 3 years, I think, now for this project. So they've been saving and relocation and construction of the new road shed building, including construction, engineering, site preparation for the new location for the road department.
All right. Thanks, Commissioner Miles.
Yeah, thank you. So we have been in dire need of a new facility now for several years. And I've been working the last 3 years to find a home also. And Duchesne City and the surrounding area, just there's not a lot of good blank canvas pieces available. So we finally did negotiate, and it's under ownership now. It's not just under contract. We have the property. It's just up here on the bench north of Duchesne City. And it was an old pit, an old crusher pit. So we'll have probably a considerable amount of site prep to do before we start building. But we, in the current footprint that we're in, we're in an area that could be prone to flooding. Probably a 100-year flood, we would see impounding water, and just not a good place to be for, you know, what our emergency responders, when we have an incident, our road crew is one of those entities that has to respond so that we can get traffic flowing. We've outgrown the space as well. We have more vehicles to maintain. We need more storage room for, you know, culverts and equipment. And so we just outgrown space. And so we will likely surplus that current property. We'll probably put that out for sale. But this new facility, it'll be wonderful. There is a picture included in your packet that just kind of shows the basic layout.
Mm-hmm.
Three of those days will be able to drive through, which any of you that have driven semi, how tricky that is to back a semi-trailer into a shop to be able to work on it. And this will allow us to be able to pull straight through on three of those days. One of the other requirements that the state and federal governments come out with is stormwater rule. You know, you can't wash things outside anymore, which is crazy to me, but we won't get into that topic. But it'll put a wash bay indoors.
Mm.
And then, you know, newer facilities, more energy efficient. It'll be a much needed addition in our county. And, you know, we've been under strain as Commissioner Larson's Special Service District reported. You know, we've got a lot of impacts from oil and gas development that we need to address some major road issues. And we've got to have the right equipment and the facilities to do that. So, I want to take a second also and express appreciation to Laurie. Laurie, we went back through and wanted to get as close of numbers as we possibly could. So we had an estimate, but it's about a year old. We went back to our engineer to get the updated probable cost so that we can dial it in fairly close to what the cost is going to be. We did put in hefty contingency because, as you all know, we can build things nowadays. I mean, we've seen this with CIB too. Like, by the time the project gets underway, costs have improved or increased by a dramatic pace. So that's the estimated building cost. And once again, Laurie, we lean on Laurie and our AOG for so much, but she spearheaded this and got me everything that we needed and got the money applied for through giving her up. So I just want to say thank you, Laurie.
You're more than welcome, boss. And actually,
he set me down. He goes, this is all we need. So it wasn't me just doing it because some of this I was going, I don't know what that is.
she helped me run it down and get it off the car. So that's it. It does have the plat map that was recorded is attached, an aerial photo of the site.
Right.
So.
Oh, wonderful.
To answer any questions if you've got questions.
Yeah, any questions from members of the board?
You know, I like the way you broke it down on your, I was looking at it, yeah.
Thank you.
It's a good breakdown, detailed breakdown of what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
That little engineer did it for you, huh?
Yeah.
You know something's up and I'm starting laughing.
Well, and I would just like to commend Duchesne County just for your foresight and your restraint in being able to save up the reserves to do that. And last week, the legislative fiscal analyst was going through the budgets, and one of the items that came up was UBRF, and they were just talking about, you know, their auditors have to find something, right? Otherwise, they're not doing their job. And so their one recommendation was just kind of, we want to make sure that these boards and entities are planning ahead, making sure they're putting plans in place. And I can tell clearly you've been doing that with this one. And so appreciate you doing that in this case. So, all right. Well, if there are no other questions, I'll go ahead and entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chair, to approve Duchesne County's request of $5,886,568 for the relocation and construction of the new road shed building.
All right. We have a motion on the table from Councilman Natchez. Do I hear a second? All right. Yeah, that was a race. I think Commissioner Larson.
I share.
All right. Well, you'll all get to vote on it either way. So, all right, we have a motion to second. Any discussion to the motion?
I just want to say thank you. And this has been on our inventory of things to do. We've had it on our CIB list for years now. And so it's been a long time coming. We've got a team. We have a director. I just can't say enough good about our road department director. He's done an amazing job. He really commands the team, and they respect him. The job that he does for the county. I appreciate all our crew does. We tackled the monumental pass this year. We chip sealed 70 miles of pavement, which is huge. To think about what they have accomplished this year, we've stretched just to try and get ahead of some of the impacts and the issues that we're currently facing. Thank you for your support.
I'll just say they finally got my road fixed. And we have this beautiful, wonderful, all paved area. And UDOT decided to pave Highway 40, so what was the old Highway 40 traffic diverted to there with a lot of the semi trucks. It was a heavy flow. I can understand more why people are concerned about the number of trucks, but they actually tore some of that road up because of their weight and everything.
Yep.
So now they got to go back and repair this brand new road that I think they paid $5 million for. So just showing you the impact of the weight of those semis and what it can do to your roads is instrumental.
Right around that corner in that hill where that road's going to stop. I just drove it.
Four-wheel drive to get out of the hole.
I enjoyed that drive.
Yeah,
all right. Well, we have a motion and a second on the table. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? It appears to be unanimous. All right. Thanks so much. Let's move on to item 5B with the contracts that are expiring soon. Turn back to you, Paul.
Yeah. So in the packet, I think I put a little summary, if I remember right. I hope I did. Good. Oh, yes. Okay. On page 14 and 15 in your packet, I put those in there just as the they'll have the amounts. These are the remaining amounts and the budgets on each of those projects, contracts. And they're all expiring at the end of this year. I know some of these, you know, we're in work on. Oh, well, like we just said, we are working on some of them.
Wouldn't you feel bad if I didn't give you a bad time?
It just wouldn't feel right. But other ones we haven't necessarily discussed. Some of the ones, and now that Hillary's on, you know, she's probably working through all this stuff anyway. So if we can, again, these were in the previous system, but if we can clean them up and get them done or get them reimbursed, or if they're ready to, you know, if they're completed and everything, then we'd love to close them out and get that whatever remaining money put back into the fund so it can get, well, actually, it's back in the fund. I think, I don't know if we're planning on having a meeting before the end of the year. We're probably, that's the next agenda item, so I'm not going to go.
Right.
To renew them, it takes a board action. So.
Right. I would say, I mean, without going to agenda item number 6, my guess is we're probably not going to have another meeting before the end of the year. So I will leave that up to the discretion of the board. Are there any questions on any of these specific contracts? Or I assume that the preference of each of the entities would be to extend these contracts, but are there any other thoughts or questions or discussion on these that we need to discuss?
I think extending them would be the idea for us because we're still working on, because I see a lot of these projects have been completed, but they're just trying to do the labor right now.
Okay. And I assume the same for Duchesne County as well.
We still have payment.
All right. Yeah. So if that's the case, unless there's any other questions or discussion, I'm happy to take a motion on these.
I would make a motion that we extend. We can extend all of those contracts, right?
Whichever, all of them, including yours. So.
You don't need to do Duchesne County, sir, because we already asked for the amendment the dollar amount, but we left the because we've incurred the expense. We're just waiting for the contract to come through so we can reimburse it.
Yeah,
right. Because we didn't ask for an extension on the fiscal year. We only asked for it on the dollar amount.
Okay.
So I guess I'm the one who's going to make the motion to extend contract for me. -11110 and contract 21552 for the Indian tribe. Extending one.
Okay. How long would you like to extend it for?
Let's go about a year.
Okay.
When you've been to have it.
Throw my 2 in there.
Yeah.
Just in case. I just need 90 days.
Yeah.
I think I've got enough to do it, though.
You never know what happens.
Yeah,
you never know.
Elections coming up.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table. Was the motion then just for the Ute Indian Tribe contracts, or were you including the Uinta County?
County contracts.
Okay.
22 DWS-0139 and 24-. DWS-04118.
Okay. Perfect. So we have a motion on the table to extend the Ute Indian Tribe and Uinta County contracts. A year for the Ute Indian Tribe contracts and 90 days for the Uinta County contracts. Is that good enough for the motion? For what you need for the minutes?
Great.
All right.
For a year.
We just do it for a year.
Plenty of time, just in case.
I think I got it.
Okay.
All right. So with that motion on the table, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All right. We got a second from Commissioner Larson. Any discussion to the motion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It is unanimous. All right. And that brings us to our final agenda item, scheduling of future meetings. With that last agenda item, it looks like we're good through the end of the year, unless anyone has something specific coming up.
Yeah, Maybe we could put a provision in there if there's an emergency that comes up that we can call a meeting on. We can set a schedule, but if we need an emergency meeting, that we can have the option possibly to do that too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how much time you need, Paul, but if there's ever an emergency meeting, I think we did one in September or August this year already, when we needed to. So worst case scenario, we can facilitate that. But let's see. What about early to mid-January before the legislative session get rolling?
That might be good.
Will that work?
We have to check our agenda. We'll let you know.
Okay.
You got to remember the tribe.
Yeah. Is there a...
We're free.
Okay.
December is kind of empty in November.
Is there a day that, or days that don't work due to standing meetings day we should work for? Something in the week of the 6th or the 13th?
I think maybe remind everybody Mondays and Tuesdays are not good.
Okay, yeah. So if we look
in Duchesne County and Uena County, so
okay, so
Wednesday and Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday. Okay, so that would be.
Isn't that correct?
Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday. Usually
we've
got meetings on Wednesday, and the only time
they're
ideal is Thursday.
Okay.
It's good for Thursday. Thursday, we have 7 on the 9th, we have 7
Commission. Okay, what about the 16th?
Well, if you go on, one of us can make it on that Wednesday. You think so?
Are you just going to hold this one virtual?
Probably. Yeah.
16th.
So you don't have to.
The 16th should be good.
The 16th?
Yeah.
Virtual would be better for you.
Well, I don't have to mess around with that camera. I can't turn it off.
Well, I appreciate your honesty.
That's when I call people like Hillary to come and do it.
Hillary, help him. Yes.
All right. Is there a time that works best for your team, Paul? 16th?
Anytime the board wants.
All right.
The afternoon worked pretty well.
Afternoon?
1 o'clock.
A little better for me.
Okay, let's do.
We go on vacation because of the legislature.
Oh.
January, February. And then we start back up in March. Okay. I can, well, you, oh, you, I sent my other book away. I will send you the AOG schedule.
Because that's nice. If everyone's together.
Yeah.
I know that was.
The next one will Uena County host in March, and then Daggett County would be fun. You get to fly to Daggett County.
Yeah, I would definitely not be opposed to that one. All right, well, let's.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I have a boat.
I got a driver.
Other duties as assigned.
Take me a day. It's fine.
All right. Well, yeah. Let's plan then on Thursday the 16th at 1 p.m.
3 o'clock. Got another meeting. I just want to make sure.
And where is that going to be held at?
It'll be virtual.
So we'll do virtual for that one. Since...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
get Hillary in there with her camera.
Let's plan on that then. And clearly, if something huge comes up, we can readjust by email, but let's plan on that.
Oh, and okay. You're more than welcome to tag those meetings anytime.
That would be fantastic.
We'd be glad to host whenever.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. All right. Well, with that brings us to the end of the agenda. I'd be open to one final motion.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
All right, we have a motion to adjourn. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. All right. Thanks so much. We are adjourned. Thanks.